Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome to Hollywood and Levine. I am Ken Levine, your angry podcast host this week. For this particular episode, it's going to be one of my rants. I haven't had a good rant in a while, and this one rankles me. And so it's what I want to talk about this week. And it's about the new phenomenon called second screen. Okay, now what is the second screen? Well, streamers are now giving writers notes that their scripts aren't second screen enough. Now, what does that mean? Well, they assume that people are on their phones or their laptops while your show is on, and the note they give is generally, explain this again, because the viewer is only half paying attention. And a number of writers I know who have had pilots have gotten this note. And they'll say, well, yeah, but I explained it 5 minutes ago. And they say, yeah, well, explain it again. They just want to make sure that when you are looking at your phone, that you're not distracted enough that you can't follow what's going on in the screen. Okay? So they want the plots to be much simpler, and they want things explained over and over so that the viewer stays up to speed. And what it means really is that all they care about is that the viewer doesn't turn the show off. That's it. It's for their algorithms. It's for the subscription. They just don't want you to turn their show off. Okay, so now some random thoughts about this. Number one, it's incredibly insulting. I mean, the fact that they talk about programs and what writers do as merely content is insulting in and of itself. As far as they're concerned, we're McDonald's, and we're just providing 7 billion hamburgers a year. That's it. That's all we are doing. We are providing content for them. And what it means, essentially, is that they're telling you to make your script worse. They're asking you to be a hack writer. All of the things that you learned not to do, they're telling you to do. And I will kind of give you an example of this. Early on in my career, when David Isaacs and I were freelancing, we got a freelance assignment on a particular show. And we worked out the story with the showrunners. And then we went home to write it. And we realized that in the first scene, something happens in the office. And then in the second scene, the star of the show goes home and tells everybody in that circle what happened in the first scene. And originally, you know, when they were like pitching this out to us, and we were just thrilled to have this assignment. We're like, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll do that. Perfect, sure. But once we got into writing it, we said, well, wait a minute. This whole second scene, A, doesn't move the story forward at all, and B, is just telling things that the audience already knows. So we tried to manipulate it a little bit and hold back some information, and we futzed with the first two scenes. We finished the script, sent it in. They liked the script, and they brought us in for second draft notes. And the first thing the showrunner said was, now, there's some stuff in the first scene and the second scene that I don't remember us discussing. And I said, well, no. We kind of took the initiative on that because, you see, such and such happens in the first scene. And in the second scene, when he goes home, the whole scene is just re-explaining things that the audience already knows. And the showrunner went, Jesus Christ, we're going to be here till midnight if we have to worry about shit like that. Well, needless to say, some of those shows are on YouTube. There's some sitcom guy who, I don't know where he gets all of this material, but we're just like flooded with old shows from the 70s and 80s. God bless him, whoever he is. But so I started watching some of the shows from that particular series, and would you believe they don't hold up? They're glib and silly, and they don't hold up. Huh. We're going to be here till midnight. We have to worry about stuff like that. Yeah, well, we do worry about stuff like that. And Netflix is basically saying the opposite. Like, no, just explain it. That's what we want. In fact, if you can explain it again in the third scene, then that's fine. The episode of The Big Bang Theory that turned me off to that series once and for all was an episode where something bothered Sheldon. He had a problem in the first scene. And so he tells Leonard what the problem is. And then in the second scene, he goes over to Penny's apartment and he tells Penny the problem. And then in the third scene, he's at work and he tells the two idiots the problem. Then he goes to the comic book store and he tells the comic book idiots what the problem is. Now, there are jokes along the way in all four scenes, but all four scenes are the same scene. And I just said, this is just crappy storytelling. I don't care. I'm off the train. Well, they love that show on Netflix. Another point. What about the people who are paying attention to the show? Repeating things endlessly kind of insults their intelligence, don't you think? And at some point, don't they start taking offense? It's like you are treating the people who are paying attention to your show, you're treating them like they're imbeciles. The dumbing down of America continues. Also, for the cost of these shows, and they're not cheap, what you are essentially asking for is a radio play. If you're an actor or a director or a cinematographer, doesn't it bother you that your host streamer doesn't give a shit whether people actually watch you or your visuals, that their only concern seems to be keeping the audience? It's like they don't care whether they're watching your show or whether they're on Instagram. And what about plot points that are visual? I'm wondering, are second screen notes going to include this? Well, we don't want to just see the dead body with the axe through his head. We have to say it because, you know, the person's on his laptop and he's typing an email. So we have to say, oh my God, there's a dead body, guy with an axe in his head. It reminds me of the old Superman radio programs, which not only was before your time, but it was before my time too, thank you very much. But still, you can listen to old episodes of the Superman radio series. And because it's radio, they have to describe everything. And at the time, you had no other choice. But listening to it now, it sounds ridiculous. First of all, he's got to go, okay, up, up and away. He has to tell you that he's flying. And Superman now basically narrates, all right, oh, I just crashed through that wall, and pow, now I'm hitting you, and now I'm bending steel. Like I said, at the time, this is the only way you could sort of picture it, but it's not 1939 anymore. We're almost 90 years past that. Why are you asking your showrunners to basically do the same thing? And when comedies are involved, you know, part of comedy is reactions. And you get a lot of laughs based on characters' reactions. I guess that's not important when you're in a situation like this where it's just do the jokes. Just do the jokes. We don't need them to see the reactions. Well, the reactions help build the comedy. So if you're only paying half attention and you're missing a lot of the reactions and a lot of the fun, you come away and you go, gee, that wasn't that funny. I don't know what was so great about that show. Moving on. Told you this was a rant. Okay, at a time when dramas in particular are getting more nuanced and daring, this is like saying, take a big old step back. They don't want The Wire on streamers. They basically want Hawaiian Eye. Now, you're probably saying, what is Hawaiian Eye? Well, back in the 50s and 60s, Warner Brothers had a series of these one-hour detective shows. It was Hawaiian Eye, there was 77 Sunset Strip, there was Bourbon Beat, and I think there might have been another one too, Surfside 6, I think. And the point is that all of these shows use the exact same scripts. They just changed the name, they just changed the locale, but they were the exact same stories. And they were really cheaply done. And, you know, you watch a Hawaiian Eye, and it's like eating cotton candy. Which back in those days, like, okay, this is what's on. But now you have a choice. Now there's The Sopranos. Now there's Breaking Bad. Now there's Game of Thrones. Now there's shows that are very well done and well constructed. And I guess the streamers are saying, it's too well constructed. That brings me to this point. God forbid the streamer's plan is to make shows so compelling that the audience won't spend half their time scrolling through Instagram. Okay? It's like, what if we have shows that people want to watch, actually watch? So what does it say when streamers are pretty much telling its writers that they don't expect people to watch their shows? That's why they want to dumb them down. Says, no one's going to be watching your show anyway. So what difference does it make? Explain the same point over and over again. And finally, I know this is going to be a shorter episode, but there's only so much ranting that you can probably tolerate. Okay, finally, being distracted while watching television is not a new phenomenon. In the past, we have ironed while watching TV. We've made dinner while watching TV, folded laundry, been on the phone, had sex. There's nothing like sex at 11 o'clock at night to Blue Buds reruns on the Christian Channel. Man, that's really doing it. But basically what I'm saying is television has survived 70 years with this viewing habit. You have not always watched TV while you were paying 100% attention to it, but you managed to follow the storyline anyway, didn't you? I believe one of the reasons why multi-camera sitcoms usually fare so well in syndication is because you don't need to look at them. If you are making dinner and you have a TV on in the kitchen and it's showing an episode of Friends, you know what their apartment looks like. You know what Central Perk looks like. So when there are scenes in those locations, you don't have to watch it. You can follow along. And the same with Cheers. You can picture that bar. You know where Norm is sitting. You don't have to watch it. In fact, we have always maintained from day one that Cheers was a radio play. So they're treating this as if it's absolutely something new when it's not. And like I said, oh, I'm repeating myself again. 70 years of television, we've managed to make it through without having to have things explained to us two or three times due to the fact that we were on our second screen. And here is the final note, and it's about notes, actually. I've gotten lots and lots of network notes over the years. Some have actually been helpful, I will admit that. And some have been stupid. Some have been incredibly stupid. But even the stupidest note, the spirit of the note, the objective of the note was, in their mind, to make the show better. Now, had we implemented some of these notes, the show would not have been better. But anyway, that was their intent. Okay? They were not looking to sabotage your show. But these second screen notes are purposely compromising quality and good writing. I'm very upset about this, and you, as a viewer, should kind of be upset about this too. Prices keep going up for these streamers, and the quality of what you're getting keeps going down. Little by little by little. And that is my rant for this week. Again, it's kind of a short episode, but you've heard me enough. Anyway, our thanks to Adam and Susie Meister Butler, to Howard Hoffman, to John Wolfert, to Bruce and Jason Miller. If you have any comments on this or anything, you can always email me, HollywoodLevine@Outlook.com. That is HollywoodLevine@Outlook.com. I am on Instagram, and I'm trying to hit that 3 million follower mark, and I'm at like 1,657, so I'm falling a little short. Please follow me, Hollywood and Levine, and you can see a number of my cartoons. So that's the rant for this week. I promise next week to be in a better mood. Hope you have a good week. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.
Hollywood and Levine.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.